Hey, welcome back to the Infest Podcast. This is Brian, and joining me today,
Casey Bellman.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, not much.
So, yeah, you're in town. We were going to do this over the phone, and you know, due to
surprise,
some circumstances, you're here, which is even better. So anyway, why don't you tell everybody who you are if they don't know? I know we've talked about you on the show before. You know, we were at Celebration together, and there's plenty of pictures out there and all that fun stuff. But for those who aren't up on their vintage Star Wars collectors.
Yeah, long-time infamous podcast listener, first-time contributor. I feel like Chevy Chase in Three Amigos. Infamous. I'm on the Infamous podcast? Like, wow, that's exciting. So
I actually, when people, like, do that, like, it makes me really happy. Like, you know, I've had a couple of people to do that. Like, they were kind of, like, trying to make fun of me. I'm like, dude, I love the Three Amigos. Like,
Was always playing at my house on VHS, for sure. So,
heck yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite? Was it Chevy Chase?
You know, Steve Martin's always been kind of like the top in terms of comedy, but Chevy Chase is hilarious.
Yeah.
Martin Short.
Yeah. I loved, so Dusty Bottoms
was
my favorite.
Too many things that I can say Martin Short is excellent at, and that's one of his best. So
anyway, sorry. Back on, who are you?
Well,
Casey Bellman, this is your life.
Yeah, a toy collector. I'm on Instagram and met a lot of people through Instagram, which has been really fun. You know, people like you have 20 minutes from where I grew up. And
right.
Didn't even know you until I discovered you through Instagram or through friends through Instagram. So it's been, you know, pretty fun to meet people.
Well, we were
like
part
you.
Of the original Coca Bros trip.
Exactly.
That's where it all started.
You, and Toy Bills, my brother Tom.
Yep. But, like, you know, I mean, we talk all the time, but it's like you help influence some of the bigger, like more like, I mean, you have a huge following, but like the people who have an even bigger following than you, you actually help influence them on what they should be looking for, especially with the vintage collection, kind of what they should be collecting and what's coming, because, you know, you're buddies with people at Hasbro and all of that stuff. So I think it's really cool to see how, like, you're the influencer of the influencers.
I try. You know, the current events I probably don't stay on top of as near as much as I used to. My Instagram following is modest. I mean, honestly, there's a lot more I could do with it. I mean, I have, you know, some marketing and artistic background, so I know there's a lot more I could do with it.
Right.
But, you know, life comes about and, you know, work takes over and you realize that you can't do, you know, as much as you'd like to do. And it really does take quite a bit of effort, you know, to maintain or grow a following. So, you know, I've met a lot of great people through Instagram and all collectors for the most part and really just Star Wars or Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been fun. I mean, I talk to people every day through Instagram DMs or people that I've known, whether, you know, they have my cell phone number and contact me that way, or, you know, people all over the world, actually, you know, I'm talking and helping people collect vintage collection and some Black Series figures, but, you know, it's mainly Black Series and vintage collection that I'm into for the most part with Star Wars and not so much Marvel Legends anymore.
Yeah.
I really have kind of let that go.
I've cut back on those as well. Yeah. I will say, like, through Celebration and through you meeting Jay from Jay's Vintage.
Yep.
Is probably hands down my favorite, like, person off of Instagram I've met in real life.
Yeah.
I had a blast with him. He's hilarious. I got the Boba Fett for him recently. And, like, I was like, you know, I just put it out there and it's like, hey, does anybody need this? And he's like, hey, I didn't get it. And it's like, hey, there you go. So
yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I've been able to help out a lot of people. A lot of people have been able to help me out to pick up stuff. You know, when I've moved from here to Chicago, it's been a huge difference in terms of stock and availability. Sometimes things are really available in my area. Sometimes I can't find things for months.
Yeah.
So, and I really don't have time to toy hunt like I used to. So it's a big difference when you have people that, you know, do get out regularly and can help you. You just need to let people know what you want, you know, and if you're friends with people, they'll help you out.
I unfortunately live close to the worst Target in the world for that, the South Lebanon one there.
That used to be my best spot when I lived here.
There is an actual best spot here, which I'm absolutely not telling anybody about. But
do not.
It is one where I know I can go to find whatever I need. Yeah. But yeah, okay. So, huge Star Wars fan, you know, obviously. Rise of Skywalker coming out on home video in just a few weeks.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the digital to experience it in your man cave? And
certainly I have it pre-ordered. You know, can't wait to see it at home. I think I saw it 5 times in the theater. Really enjoyed it. I mean, I liked the pace. I thought it was a little too quick sometimes, but overall it was time to get the saga over with.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, throw as much as we can in it. And unfortunately, you know, the episode before that wasn't so great.
No.
So, and you know my feelings on that. But,
I do. And we don't need to rehash
exactly.
them. So.
But everything that they did to make the ending what it was, I think it was as good as it could be.
And
honestly.
Did you read Trevorrow's Duel of the Fates script?
I didn't get to read it, but I saw some of the concept art.
So it was really interesting, right? The whole idea is like Kylo killing Rey's parents,
mm-hmm.
Rey actually being nobody, no Palpatine, the what's left of the resistance essentially coming into a Star Destroyer of their own,
mm-hmm.
and kind of wreaking havoc that way. It was really kind of cool. It was the concept art to me was a little too Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But that's just concept art.
Mm-hmm.
But still Rey looked really cool. I thought Rise of Skywalker was great. You know, the pacing issues aside for sure.
Yeah.
I saw someone say it was a 10-pound story in a 3-pound bag.
It had to be, I think. I mean, because they really didn't get anything out of the episode before.
The second one was a 2-pound story in a 15-pound bag.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of just light on that. And I'll never understand why they decided it was okay to pick up right after the previous movie ended, but not deal with any of the fallout of the previous movie.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, and not have Palpatine instead of Broom Boy.
Yeah,
like
of course.
Wouldn't that made more sense?
My only real gripe with this last movie was the Star Destroyer on battle on top of a Star Destroyer, the land battle, should I say? I mean, that to me was just way too far fetched.
Do you watch the How It Should Have Ended YouTube channel?
I have seen it. My nephew, who's 14, he always brings it to my attention, but I'm surprised he hasn't.
The Rise of Skywalker one. They're like, shut down the speeders. They're not on speeders. They're on space horses. He says, oh, the list. Richard E. Grant's character. He's like, oh, hold on. And just tilts it and knocks them all off.
Yeah. To me, it's like you wasted all that time on that scene and all that money and all that effort to put in those sets and everything. And it just think of just the normalcy of it. Like, come on. Why did you go there? So that's
anyway.
The only thing I really hated about the movie. Everything else I think was pretty great.
Yeah. All right. So, going along with that, Bob Iger resigned as CEO. He's staying on as chairman of Disney until the end of 2021.
Yeah, going to fulfill his contract.
Where he was supposed to step down from both roles.
Right.
I sent you an article, I don't know if you had a chance to read about it, about mm-hmm. just kind of the leadership of Bob Iger and what he's done in his 14 years as CEO and the self-awareness to step down while he's on top.
Yeah. We never see this in today's age. It's either you're on the top and you screw up and you get knocked down.
Yeah.
Or you know, you have to resign or you say something stupid or, you know, someone.
Or you're Harvey Weinstein.
Right. Exactly. Anything but this is what we're normally used to seeing. But it was a good thing. I mean, I think that this is a really good show of his leadership and the strength of his leadership to say, there is someone, you know, in this next, you know, Bob that's coming on that can take us on and to the next level.
Yeah. So Bob Chapek, I think, is how you mm-hmm. say it. He's a parks guy. But I know he's not without his own controversy, right?
Sure.
Like shutting down the Asian parks and things like that. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. I know he's a creative guy. And believes in Disney Creative, so hopefully he'll be as delegatory. I don't even know if that's a word. But delegating to the creative people the way Iger has done. You know, having Feige has helped really turn Disney into even more of a powerhouse with the Marvel side of things.
Certainly,
Kathleen Kennedy. While the Star Wars movies have been making money, you know, it's still. There's still things that are happening with Star Wars that need to be better, like the revolving door of directors and
all
of the production drama and things like that. I saw a rumor, which I don't believe this is true, but like that she was forced off the set of season two of The Mandalorian. I don't know if you've seen these reports. It's like, come on. Like, you know, Game of Thrones, you had the double D's, like Dan and David. Like, we've got Favs and Filoni in the wings, hopefully, to take over the reins of the mighty Star Wars ship.
That would be amazing.
And if The Mandalorian is anything to say about that, that would be really interesting. What I'm really interested to see with Bob Chapek is what happens with Pixar. Because I feel like Pixar slipped a little bit over the last few films.
Sure.
What happens with the actual Disney animation and then the 21st Century Fox merger? What are they going to do with that? What are they going to do with all that new IP that they have? What are they going to do with rated R IP? What are they going to do with the more adult-themed things that now is a part of the Disney catalog?
Yeah, he's got a lot of choices that he could really screw up or really make great. I mean, Iger obviously hit some home runs in the 14 or 15 years that he was here. So, you know, if this guy has anything to do with the future like Iger did, then we could see some amazing things. I mean, just my experiences recently in the last few years of going to Disney World have been amazing. And if this guy is... you know, was part of the chairman of the experiences and products like he was, then obviously, you know, Galaxy's Edge, amazing. I've been there twice.
Yeah, we're going in
May.
Know?
Yeah, it's just you can't do enough there. Every time, you know, I've gone back, it's like I can't wait to come back again. You know, I'm just counting the days to where the next trip is there, you know, coming. So, I mean, if he can just do that and replicate that in all the other entertainment venues that they can offer, then I can't wait. Absolutely. Can't wait to see what he can do.
Cool. I had something I was going to say and I don't remember what it was. That's the beauty of podcasting, right? The adult theme stuff, right? Like they're like Deadpool, for example, is now a Marvel thing. Like, I guess it is a Marvel thing. You know, making that a PG-13 would be a huge misstep. Things like Alien and Predator and all of that stuff they have, making that, like taking that step back to PG-13, I think we've seen with the last Terminator movie, which was a PG-13 movie, was not as good. It just wasn't, it wasn't what it should be.
I missed that one, but...
you missed it.
I haven't heard great things about it, so it's one of those things where you wait until it gets to home video and then...
Yeah.
You know, you watch it when you watch it. But, I mean, I think that they have with this merger, it doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of the Disney direction. But, you know, we'll have to see what they come up with.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of things out there today. There's, you know, Amazon Prime. There's Netflix. There's all these other things.
Well, they have Hulu. Know,
yeah.
That's a Disney-owned.
Exactly.
Not wholly owned, but majority-owned Disney property now.
So we're definitely not starving for entertainment, you know, so, you know, if they screw it up, then, you know, the fans will, you know, make it very clear that they've screwed up and they'll have to change direction.
Yeah, absolutely. That was what I was thinking is Iger with the home runs, right?
Yeah.
They bought Marvel for $4 billion.
Yeah. Crazy.
They made that back by the time Avengers came out.
Right.
That's just insane.
And Star Wars was a $4 billion.
Yeah, $4 billion as well. Yeah. And that made it back.
I think they made it in a week. I think they made it in the week of Galaxy's Edge opening.
Yeah.
between Disneyland and Disney World.
So, okay, Galaxy's Edge. Let's it's not on our rundown or anything, but let's talk about this for a second. What did you buy? What was your favorite thing that you saw? And what was one thing that you would change?
So my first trip, I went crazy and bought every one of the Black Series special edition packs. It was $275 plus tax or whatever. So, you know, I walk out with like two or three bags full of, you know, figures because they're in enormous boxes.
Right.
And those were, you know, mostly repacks. So I kind of feel duped for buying them. But
you got Hondo.
I got like three new figures out of it. So congratulations. Yeah. Rex, Hondo, and a mountain trooper.
Yeah.
That was it. And a gold, Captain, Commander Pyre.
Yeah.
So I got a gold first order stormtrooper
out of
it. I have
a 3 3/4 inch of him.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah. Black Series. You got the 5 POA version. Yeah, you're good. Well, I just, to me, you know, that was a must have, you know, because we had saw them at Celebration.
Oh, right. And they were amazing.
Know, yeah, and everything you see at Celebration, you can't wait to get in your hands when it's in retail. So I did that. And then I, you know, was considering doing the lightsaber experience and considering doing, you know, some of the other things like droid building and stuff. But to me, honestly, I got so much enjoyment of just like going into the droid building room and, you know, and checking that out and watching everybody, you know, spend their $150 and not doing it myself. So it to me and everyone's walking around with the lightsabers.
Yeah.
So to be honest, though, this last trip, all I bought was the mouse droid popcorn.
Nice.
Like, that goes around your neck. You can carry it. And it was full of like, you know, multi-flavored popcorn. There that was go. The only thing I really bought other than I think I did not have the Dasani water bottle and the Sprite bomb, you know,
the thermal
detonator bottle. So I bought those two as well. So I have all of them.
When they showed those at Celebration, the fact that everyone in the room went,
Like,
oh my God, it's so cool.
Sugary water.
The thermal detonators.
Oh, yeah, it was sick.
My cosplay is complete.
It was awesome.
So when we go, I'm definitely getting the Ahsoka Legacy lightsabers.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to do the lightsaber experience.
Yeah.
But then I don't think I could do it just once. I need two. So, because, you know, dual wielding.
Of course.
But I have like six lightsabers already from like, you know, the build or whatever, or like just buying them. And so it's like, do I need four more lightsabers?
Yeah. And they're not cheap. And,
no.
You know, they have all the extras you can buy, all the different kyber crystals. I mean, the experiences alone. I mean, walking into Doc Ondor's like, you know, store, I take pictures every time I go in there of everything because it, you know,
it changes, right?
I believe. Yeah. My first visit, there was nothing Mandalorian related. And the second visit, there was Mandalorian stuff everywhere, like all over the place. So to me, it was if it keeps changing like that too, that's going to be a fun experience.
So is this like, I guess I've never really like looked into it because I don't necessarily care that much, but like the Black Spire Outpost, like where in canon is it? Is it during like this prequel or sequel trilogy? Is it like during like the Thrawn books when Anakin and Thrawn and Padme are there?
It's certainly like, First Order. It's I actually read the book.
I guess there was a book, wasn't there?
Yeah, I read the book. I finished it right before I went on my last trip there, which was last fall, I think it was.
Yeah.
So it was actually we lucked out. It was that was the first trip. I'll reference the second trip. We took my niece, who's 5, and her mother, which they had a blast. They loved Toy Story World. We got to ride the new Rise of the Resistance ride. They loved it. Couldn't believe how fun it was. Couldn't believe we got to ride it because it was just, you know, the whole rigmarole to even get in it was kind of amazing to get through it. But
well, and those boarding passes aren't going away.
Yeah, they should be that way.
It's perfect. Makes sense.
You can plan your whole day around that and not miss a thing. Yeah. So, in terms of canon, the exact point is somewhere between was it episode, trying to remember exactly when it is, right before I think Force Awakens or around that time. You know, it Leia's in the book.
Okay.
You know, Vi Marati is
basically
sent, you know, to the outpost to look for a new place
to get
away. It could have been someone's going to reference this and know exactly when it is, but it's perfectly within the First Order. She's basically being chased down by the First Order.
Cool.
And so there's quite a bit of that in there, but it's awesome.
Awesome.
It's a great book. Actually, if you don't read the book, you'll obviously kind of be out of the loop with some of the things that are in the actual Galaxy's Edge. Like people that work there will speak to you and it will be directly from things in the book.
Oh, cool.
So, and actually we found Vi Marati and I brought my niece to her and she was like whispering in her ear and like talking to her about, you know, being a hero and stuff.
Right.
And I grabbed my niece and I was like, "What did she say to you?" She's like, "I can't tell you. It's a secret." It was just like hilarious.
That's awesome.
Like she kept it like in like real life. Like this is so cool.
That's
so
very cool. Have you been to Disneyland before?
I have never been to California. Yeah.
So we typically go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. One, because it's California and sure. not Florida, and two, it's just it's a more intimate experience with Disney, which is sounds really weird for going to a literal cathedral to capitalism.
Sure.
But Toy Story, or not Toy Story, Cars Land, Radiator yeah. Springs out there is amazing. You definitely have to try that.
Yeah.
So we were out there when the last time we went, it was the first year that it opened, and we got stuck on the Radiator Springs Racer, which okay. is like the test track racer.
Yeah.
And we were on a 90 degree embankment and we had to walk out,
yeah.
which was infinitely cooler than the ride. Well, right. Yeah. I'm walking around taking pictures yeah. and like, that's when I was working in social media at the time.
Yeah.
And taking pictures and posting them on my Instagram. They're still on my Instagram. And I had a friend who was a social media manager at Disney, and I got a phone call from her, and she's like, stop taking behind the scenes pictures.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so good times. All right. So Bob Iger stepping down. All right. So next, our next big, I guess, love of things is toys.
Toys. I mean, yeah,
we're surrounded by them. You're surrounded by them.
Brings us together. So. Yes, of course.
So over the last weekend, Toy Fair has come yep. and gone. You know, and we typically cover Toy Fair. Did you see anything in particular that you you really wanted, or?
Yeah, I pre-ordered some items. Out. Yeah, immediately. I as soon as I noticed that they were available, I pre-ordered the 40th anniversary Empire Strikes yep. Back. Carded Black Series figures.
Yeah, I noticed you yep. did that and then posted all of like what you got and how much yeah. you spent and then said, oh, by the way, guys, these are available. That was good.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all got the email, right? I Wasn't know, it from I know. The yeah. Hasbro email? But so. Yeah, and then the Walmart exclusives. It's certainly, what's that, the Retro Collection?
Yeah.
I think there's six figures in that. Obviously, Boba Fett. Easily sold out, I believe, yeah. in minutes, but I was able to grab onto those. I think that there were some issues with the checkout in that, and I heard it from several people that they were having problems checking out where they couldn't check out with all six,
yeah.
or you know something weird. Was showing sold out. But later on, even hours later, they were able to check out by maybe even buying just a few at a time or not purchasing the whole group at once. But I had one problem where I had them in my cart and thought I had checked out, and then I was like, wait a second, I've got no email, I'm seeing nothing on my card, and then I was like, oh crap, I better go back and checked it out, and I must have not. Had completely clicked through the checkout session. So
oh, wow.
I actually still was able, like just minutes later, I think was able to check out. And then, you know, I started seeing the, you know, pending charge of my card and things like that. And I was like, okay, that's good. As long as that's there. So, and those were, you know, those were pretty much a Target exclusive and like an online yeah. later. And those sold through in no time at Target.
Oh, cool.
Those were like not on the shelves at all. And that's just those remake, you know, 40th anniversary, I guess, type stuff. I mean, they chose some cool figures. I mean, Boba Fett definitely going to be a hot one.
Yeah, I have like three Black Series Boba Fetts from the years. Like, I don't need anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So, very cool. Yeah, I got the just the Luke and the Bespin.
Yeah,
which that's my favorite version of Luke.
Yeah,
but I was looking. I think one of the things I was most excited about was actually the WWE toys. And then the Jazzwares AEW figures,
okay.
which I know you're not huge into wrestling, but which your brother's a
I was
professional wrestler.
Yeah, he is professional.
I actually was at his retirement match. I don't know if he's actually retired.
I made him who he is today.
Do. You okay, did? Yes. Okay.
I beat him up every single day. All right. So he's as tough as he is today. He's tough Tom Bellman right now because yeah. his older brother put him in many, many headlocks and gave him many, many suplexes onto the couch.
I will be honest. I did not know he was on the show when I went.
Yeah.
And when he came out. Because we had talked about that when yeah. we did that initial ride out to Kokomo. And we knew a bunch of the same people.
Sure.
And yeah. like I was in the front row and he came around. I was like,
yeah.
you know. And he was amazing.
Yeah.
Like he was so good.
He's a showman.
It was awesome. It was really cool to see his last match
yeah.
and go out. But the WWE toys look really good.
That's cool.
They more than any other like toy line, they do the best with like the faces and, yeah. and getting them right. But then at the same time, they have certain ones where they're the worst face you can yeah. ever have. Like,
right.
You know how sometimes we get the melted Luke face?
Yeah.
Like, you'll get like five or six of those in yeah. like one line. Yeah, but they put out so many It's actually like the longest running like 6-inch action figure line. They're cool. On like wave 133 wow. coming out this nice. Year. So
I mean, seeing them on yeah. the shelves and on the pegs. Yeah. I mean, the emotions, they actually capture emotions oh, yeah. in a figure. I mean, Star Wars doesn't do that at no. all.
I mean, I have a couple right there. Yeah. But I only go after certain, like, as you can see, I go yeah. after Finn Balor. Yep. And then there's a Johnny Gargano. I don't know if you know who okay. he is or not. Cleveland boy. He's in NXT.
Right.
He's getting a figure this time out, so I'm definitely getting that.
Yeah, they look great. I mean, yeah. I obviously look at everything that's on the pegs, and I mean, that's a solid line. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have good quality.
So, non-Star Wars, anything that caught your eye?
You know what? No, I really did not pay much attention to anything. I mean, Marvel looked like they had some strong figures out there, but nothing that I'm yeah. showing much interest in nowadays. So
there's some interesting Legends coming out, yeah. but with the price going way up, like yeah. jacked up on that, like I just can't, like, I just really can't. Like, unless
it takes a small change like that to really yeah. get people out of it. You know, yeah. Sometimes. So
the Hasbro Ghostbuster figures. I don't know if you looked at those. Yeah, those are sweet.
Those look cool. Yep. Very cool.
Really good looking. But yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, Toy Fair is always fun to see all the different stuff. Like NECA's doing a bunch of really cool stuff. They're doing a Bill and Ted line, which will be cool. The Vitruvian Hack, Boss Fight Studios
sure.
Released what the Flash Gordon and the Phantom figures look oh, yeah. like, and they yep. have Zorro and Tarzan, and then they had some wrestlers as well, the luchadors.
Cool.
So yeah, it was I don't know, I always find Toy Fair really interesting, and then it makes my wallet very sad.
Well, it was kind of a letdown for Star Wars, but you know, we're kind of on a downspout. Well, I mean, obviously there was tons of the child products that, you know, really are probably easily 6 months behind
yeah.
on well, everything. But
and I understand why they didn't put that out right. for the spoiler of it, but like they should have had that like in the canon, like ready to go, like fired off on like week 3 of The Mandalorian. Like, all right, start making toys.
I mean, if so. They didn't look at that character in from a production standpoint and say this is going to sell $1 billion in right. toys in the first week, mm-hmm. I don't know who missed the ball there.
Well, the Pop is like the largest selling Pop of all time, and yeah. it's not even out yet.
Right.
So
that's crazy.
My favorite character is the Armorer
yeah.
from The Mandalorian. She sure. was my favorite character yeah. of the whole show. Like I just want a YouTube series of her making Beskar armor.
Yeah.
Like Man at Arms, you know, yeah. something like that. No Black Series figure for her that I saw.
No, and that you so. Know, they can only make so much stuff. They can only yeah. You know, retool so many things. I mean, I was listening to a podcast recently that was a event that Hasbro was at in a panel, and they were talking about tooling, and they were talking mm-hmm. about the cost and all this. And you know, just to make a mold for one figure is well over $100,000.
Oh, I bet.
Just the yeah. product of the mold. And of course they do reuse that mm-hmm. as much as possible. But you can see now why, like, they would invest so much into repacks and
right.
and redoing things and just investing more into paint applications and things
yeah,
like
that.
Yeah,
we got the heavy Mandalorian, which right. I imagine was a really expensive.
Yeah, I mean,
mold.
They made it very clear
and
that.
And he's awesome.
Yeah, just all the prep work alone, taking getting up to that figure, coming to production, takes almost a year. And yeah. the fact that, you know, the molds cost as much as they do to get them tooled is just insane. So you're not going to see a ton of new figures. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be repacking and repainting like crazy.
Because I look at, like, the Gina Carano figure, and right. you could do the armor out of her with the helmet. And then the soft goods.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
As with the fur.
Yeah.
And that would be really cool.
Yeah.
And I'd be really satisfied with that. I just, you know.
Which is why we see customs,
yeah. right.
you know, way before we see real
oh,
figures.
Oh, right, right, right.
So.
Well, like Aaron from Roma, he
yeah.
does amazing customs.
Right.
So, but yeah, I don't know. There was just, I don't know. There was some really cool stuff. And then at the same time, there was some stuff where it's like, eh, like the Mafex Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay.
They need to, like, it needs to come with, like, tears, like, coming down his face, you know. Like,
dude.
You see now are Michael Jordan, like, memes of
well,
just tears.
Because there was the meme before, and yeah. then the whole, like, goodbye Kobe thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, I loved Kobe.
Yeah,
he
sure.
was my. So I grew up a Pistons fan. I'm still a Pistons fan.
Yeah.
I love the Detroit Pistons. Like I need to get up to see their new arena because I haven't been to
right.
a game there yet. But Kobe is literally my top 3 all-time favorite basketball players. because of the way he played basketball.
Yeah.
And because he came into the league as a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
And went through, you know, he definitely had that hiccup in 2001 to 2003, you know, with the case and everything. But, like, he handled that as well as anybody.
Certainly.
And
yeah.
You look at, like, without Kobe, like, I don't think, like, and I'm not a LeBron fan, but LeBron would not have handled it as well as he has.
Definitely not.
And, I mean, LeBron is a goddamn mogul now.
Yeah.
You know, just, right. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So lots of cool toys. I've got a link on the site to Toy Arc if you want to go see everything. It is definitely worth checking out. There's way too much to talk about. Did you have anything else in your notes there?
No, I mean, I think it was a big miss for Star Wars overall. I mean, not just the child stuff coming out so late, and you know, Disney mad dashing to just about every toy maker, Mattel and Hasbro and everyone out there to try to, you know, put this toy, this character on everything that they could think of, games and keychains and magnets and t-shirts and everything. They
so
really
the biggest miss
it.
Speaking of games was Operation.
Yes,
because you don't pull anything actually out of him.
Yeah,
it's all around him. It's like,
right.
Are you kidding me? Like, if it was on him, I definitely would have pre-ordered that.
It doesn't make sense, so. But yeah, and then they, you
like
know,
you pull stuff out of Chewbacca in the Chewbacca one.
Sure,
like,
well, he's got
on.
That fur. You know, it's all matty. You're gonna eventually get stuff stuck in there.
Right?
So. But, I mean, they announced one new vintage collection toy, which was the Gonk Droid.
Yeah.
Huge miss. Yeah. I mean, people, you know, it's funny. They give you this heroin drip, like, of vintage collection. They bring it back. They could come back really strong. They bring it back with a bunch of crappy repacks. They bring it back with a bunch of, you know, stuff that no one wants. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally do make a figure, which isn't a bad figure to choose from, because it is new, but... You know, they only brought the one. So it was like, and then, the, you know, they did announce the Slave One, which is a repaint, but it's like $140.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, and the Snowspeeder was $120.
Yeah,
and,
that's, you know, like,
you know,
I think
that's a little
$130 more, roughly, yeah. Which, you know, you're paying probably 20. You got to figure a Black Series figure now is $25.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the ship is going to be roughly $105. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it looks amazing. So, and
I just don't have room for it.
Yeah,
or else I would totally buy it.
I've got two TIE fighters, one in the box and one not in the box, just sitting in storage right now. And it's just like, you know, I don't have the room. So it's cool that they're making the vehicles. You know, you can put two figures in the ship, and
cool.
You know, it's got all the details and you know, breakaway damage and things like that. So it looks amazing, but. You know, it's the price is way up there. It's probably going to go on clearance.
Yeah.
At this point now, I don't even buy any vehicle that comes out, whether it's Vintage Collection or Black Series, until it's clearance, because they always do.
Right. The only one that I bought was Luke and the Landspeeder.
Yeah.
Because I never saw it again after that first weekend. And I'm sure it went on clearance somewhere, but not
big
around
time.
Here it didn't.
Yeah, in Chicago, I remember the first year we moved up to Chicago, which was 2.5 years ago, they had the shelves were full of Rey and Speeder and the Luke and Speeder, and those things clearance down to about $15 a piece. And I think I picked up a few and, you know, and put them in storage and never looked at them again. So just in case.
It's like the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
It just goes away.
Yeah. One day it'll get opened up and, you know, we'll get sucked in.
So, all right. So sticking with Star Wars, they are on a mad dash of announcing things.
They sure are. A lot of stuff's coming out.
And we got the new the High Republic announcement. And my link isn't working.
I'm really into the literary side of Star Wars. I mean, I have really tried the best I can, as busy as my life can be, to read as many of the
audiobooks
books as possible.
Man. I do.
I can't stay awake during an audiobook. It like puts me to sleep.
So I do them in the car, and then, you know, I do them at the gym.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a solid, well, I mean, I work from home now, so there's not a lot of driving, but like at the gym, that's a solid 2 hours of audiobook listening every day.
Yeah.
So it's great. And,
I just can't focus on it for some reason. I'd rather read it. It's weird.
I would much rather sit down and read. I don't have the time. We literally have like something every night. You're the third thing I've had to do tonight.
Sure.
So, I had a going away party for a former colleague. We had a meeting for the kid for going into seventh grade.
Yep.
And then you came in.
Keep it tight. Keep the
schedule
tight.
It's always something.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's been fun. I really have enjoyed, and I have above my desk that I sit at home or when I do work from home, I have about four or five books that I always keep on the shelf right above my head that are ones I still need to read. And, you know, and it just reminds me, okay, get through what you got right now, which is, I think, Thrawn Treason is what I'm reading right now.
It was really good.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through it. So just waiting to finish that. And once I get through that,
I'm a little bummed they're doing like a prequel one.
Yeah.
With him with the Chiss Ascendancy. Yeah. Because my favorite new character is Eli Vanto.
Yeah, he's cool.
And I just want to know what's going on with him.
Sure. Yeah.
Tim Zahn, can we get an Eli book? Just Eli.
By the way, he's a great guy to see at the cons. I've seen him at both celebrations in the last two celebrations. He will literally stop and talk to you at any time. Steve Sansweet's the exact same way. You can stop and just say hi to him and tell him how much you appreciate their work, and they're both just outstanding guys. But Timothy Zahn, by far, one of the nicest guys if you'll meet in person.
Very cool. So with the High Republic artwork, John Barenthal, right?
Yeah.
Like they're going for John Barenthal because that's like the guy right in the middle.
Yeah.
It's and he's got the cool like cross guard on his saber.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the protruding
very cool
laser sword.
Different than anything we've ever seen.
It's,
so it's cool.
Really neat. I'm excited. I'm really, really excited for this. So with Star Trek, right? Mm-hmm. I've been for years I just want it way in the future. Where like Picard and Kirk are like ideas, you know, the idea of them is much greater than the men they were.
Sure.
And we're going to get that with Discovery in season 3. It looks like, with Star Wars, it's the other, I want to go back to like way before any of the Skywalker nonsense started happening and like have these 10,000 Jedi versus 10,000 Sith or Nils or whatever they're doing in the books here, but the writers that they have, Charles Soule doing the first book, which is crazy. I think that's the first actual like book he's written.
For Star Wars, he's had his own works before, but he's written 5 of the comic book series for Marvel.
Yeah, Light of the Jedi.
I have every one of them. Yeah. They're amazing. I actually met Charles Soule. About 2.5 years ago, I think right before we moved to Chicago. Met him at Laughing Ogre in downtown Columbus.
Oh, very cool.
He was there. We were in town for my wife was working in Columbus for. That's where our corporate office is, and I just in some cases can just go and work remotely. So, we were just in Columbus, and I looked up things to do, and it just so happened that he was on Laughing Ogre actually is
it's
comic
a really
book
cool,
shop
yeah.
I went to as in college in 1998. I'd been going there for years off and on, but to see him there, and I picked up some amazing variants. I paid ridiculous amounts for them and had him sign them.
Sure.
And, had him sign the Poe Dameron comic. And, he was involved with a lot of stuff there. Yep. So
that Poe Dameron comic was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't get through the whole thing. I'm actually going to pick up a few trades of it from the last. Did it actually end?
Yeah.
Is it end?
Yeah, it ended a while ago. And then Claudia Gray is writing one called Into the Dark. Which I'm really kind of interested because there's not a lot that they've said about it, but I've enjoyed her books.
Yeah. I mean, they're young adult and I they're quick reads and they're very easy to read and they're fun. I mean, a lot of times they're, more about relationships and things like that, like Lost Stars and things like that, but it's good stuff.
I just read Lost Stars finally.
Yeah.
Last month.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome.
It was great.
So good. And the way she roped in the proto empire into the full-fledged empire, and then getting to see that point of view of the characters who are good, legitimately good people who joined the empire for the right reason, and then watching as they slowly understand how perverted it had become, and then all the way up through Jakku. The Battle of Jakku. It was so very, very cool. Do you play the Battlefront games and stuff?
I did get an Xbox for Christmas, and I do have the Jedi
Fallen Order
game. and I played it for like 20 minutes.
That is
I need to get on
the first video game I've actually finished in years.
Yeah.
And when I say finished, I mean 100% of everything.
Yeah,
I just kept going back and finishing. So
my wife's going to have to go
it.
On like a week long work trip where I can't go for me to actually get it done. So
there you go.
Because I, you know, just don't have time to sit down and play it. So
your wife goes out of town, you sit and play video games. My wife goes out of town, I have like 20 guys come over and make like 15 pounds of chicken wings and have, five different kinds of whiskey.
No, I do that when she's here at home because she's the one that has to do all the cooking.
Oh, see,
she's the one that makes the parties exciting because she's, you know, baking and cooking and, you know.
Yeah, last summer they went out of town and literally like 20 guys come over and they're like, who made all this? I made it.
Wow, yeah, you're a champ.
I'm a cook. But yeah, no. So I'm super. I saw this. This was probably my favorite news that came out last weekend because
especially the Charles Soule.
That was the first thing I saw, and I was like, "Wait, is this a comic?" And then I found it was a novel, and I was even more excited. But the whole High. So IDW is doing the High Republic Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a line of Star Wars Adventures books right now. I don't necessarily like them because they're kind of more like skewed. Like all ages.
Sure.
And the Darth Vader books right now are the best Star Wars comics going just in general. And Dr. Aphra.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I'll definitely check those out, but I can't get over the artwork and seeing all the aliens and you know, just the different lightsaber designs and all of that. It's so cool.
Yeah. It looks amazing. Even those comic covers that they kind of teased. I mean, those characters on there, I have to know what those are about.
And if we can get an animated series out of this, so that would be awesome.
Yeah, well, Disney Plus, you've got your platform, just give it to us, you know.
Yeah, we'll get to Disney Plus in a minute. All right, so taking a break from Star Wars for a second because we're gonna circle right back. This broke yesterday. James Mangold, so we're recording on Thursday the 27th. So happy March. Or happy, leap year.
Yeah.
So James Mangold, maybe taking over for Steven Spielberg or is taking over. I don't know if it was confirmed or not.
Yeah. I was, reading some news and some, outlet. I think it was, movienewsnet.com. And, I saw the header there that I assumed, and I think others did too, that Spielberg was going to be directing Indy 5. And, you know, that's a good bet because he's pretty much led the charge through all those movies. But, I mean, I'm not upset with Mangold if he's the man. I mean,
Hollywood Reporter is saying that it's happening. So.
Obviously, I agree that the source is good, but, you know, it was a little bit of a shock.
So looking at what he did with Logan, And again, my hate for Wolverine as a character is well documented in the 5 years I've been doing this. Well documented. And I feel like, I mean, the year Logan came out, it was one of my two favorite movies that year, right behind Baby Driver.
Yeah.
And to see him deal with an aging Indy is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like Shia LaBeouf has kind of like turned it around.
Yeah.
Like after kind of the craziness that was his life for a little while there, let's just kind of we'll sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
So if he can get Shia LaBeouf back doing the stuff that he's doing now, like with Honey Boy and with the Peanut Butter Falcon and like
he's
all these great
runs.
Indie movies that he's just knocking it out. Like my favorite Shia LaBeouf movie was Disturbia?
Is
that the title? It was the Rear Window remake where he's, you know, I think it was Disturbia. But yeah, he's like, I love him in that.
Yeah.
But I like just when he gets talking real fast. And,
yeah.
You know, so
gets all hyped up. Yeah.
Or the Battle for Cleveland Heights might have been my favorite Shia LaBeouf. Anyway. So, but this is great. So you have some thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, it just, you know, Spielberg's going to be a very active producer based on, you know, what I read, which is great. I mean, he's going to have a lot of control, I'm sure, on how it goes. Hopefully it's not too much control because obviously Mangold can come up with some pretty great stuff recently. You know, a lot of Oscar buzz around him with Ford versus Ferrari. And, but Harrison Ford, obviously, who's out campaigning for Call of the Wild, you know, in general, did have a statement to say that, you know, there were some script issues and there were some things that were, that still needed to be worked out. But he is still on board, and, you know, that film's coming to us on July 9th of 2021. Yeah. So next year, you know, year and a half from now, we'll be, you know, excited to get our indie fix on, and we'll see. I mean, that was one of the movies. If it wasn't, you know, Three Amigos for Fun, it was like Indiana Jones. And of course I love the Kenner line as a kid. So, you know, with the action and the, you know, the whip action and the gunslinging action. And, you know, to me, I always loved those movies. Those were by far, you know, I didn't even know that George Lucas was a person at that age. Obviously you're, you know, 8 or 9 years old and you're like, these movies are just great. Why do I love Star Wars? Why do I love Indiana Jones? And then you're like, oh wait, it was all made by the same guys. And so, once you grow up.
So Indiana Jones hot take: I do not like Temple of Doom.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe as an adult, I loved it as a kid, but
no, I didn't like it as a kid either. Yeah. I've never liked it. And like, I've tried to go back and you know, I mean, I have a kid now and like we introduce her to all this stuff and we've watched it and like, it's like, I don't like it.
Short Round? You didn't like Short Round?
No, I liked him better in The Goonies.
Yeah. So by far.
But like Raiders of the Lost Ark is a damn near perfect movie, right?
Amazing.
The Last Crusade is my favorite Indiana Jones movie. Yeah. Mainly because of just the comedy that comes.
It's good.
But it's like intentionally unintentional.
Sure.
You know, so, and I did not see Crystal Skull.
You didn't see it? It's actually not that great. I mean, it's okay.
I did convince my, I had my mother-in-law convinced for like 2 months before it came out that Shia LaBeouf's character was named Kentucky Jones. So.
When's Ohio Jones make it up?
And then he was Indiana's son, which I guess he turned out to be Indiana's son.
Yeah.
Right. So, or Junior's son.
Right.
If you will.
Junior.
The dog's name was Indiana. So, my horrible Sean Connery. My horrible Sean Connery. But yeah, no, that's exciting. And I really like Mangold.
I mean, he's not done, you know, anything that I could say I hated.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Which I have not seen yet, by the way. So,
Christian Bale. Well, one, let's hold on. Matt Damon was perfectly cast as Carroll Shelby.
Cool.
Like, you like cars and stuff like that. You're wearing a Triumph shirt. So, you know, that's a motorcycle, not a car. But anyway, but Matt Damon was perfectly cast as Carroll Shelby, right?
Yeah.
But then, I can't remember the race car driver's name, and I feel so bad about this, but Christian Bale was so great. And I could do a 2-hour movie of just him racing, talking to the car. Like,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
He's like, "Hello, sweetheart." Like, you know, he's just like, he's over the, like, but he's like, you know, because he has a British accent, but he goes like way over with it, and he's like angry and loving, and like, it's so great.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe if it was a 5 category movie,
sure,
it should not have been. It was not one of the 5 best pictures. I would even argue it shouldn't have got a best picture nomination, even though I loved it and it was on my top 5 list of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. It was just a great movie.
I'll rent it.
Yeah.
From home.
It's well worth. Yeah. It's well worth watching. And, you know, as soon as it like drops from that $19.99 price point to $12.99 or lower, I'll definitely pick it up.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's really it for Indiana Jones. I mean, I'm excited, and this was in a way good news. I mean, as long as Spielberg's involved, and which obviously he will be, this will be a good one to see.
So, all right. So, circling back to Star Wars, our last thing to talk about today is the return of Clone Wars.
Clone Wars season.
Now we are recording
7.
This just mere hours before the second episode comes out.
I'll be waking up early tomorrow to see it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'll sit there with my tea and I'll watch it on the couch.
Right.
Like I did with Picard this morning. anyway, the Bad Batch. So did you ever see the animatics of this that they had put out when Clone Wars originally got canceled?
No, I don't think I did.
So they put it like, you know, they, For some of these 6 episodes, they were pretty far along in the development process. So I actually like have watched most of this stuff in a proto form already.
Sure.
I loved it. I loved it so much.
I can't wait. I mean, this, you know, 12 episodes.
6.
I thought it was 12 total. I think it's 12.
Is it 12? I'll look at
that. I believe so. I don't even remember my source, but I thought it was 12. I
thought it was 6.
Yeah. Well, I'll take 12 if they'll give it to me. Yeah, but please. 6 is fine. I think that, you know, they came out, you know, out the gate with amazing speed, and I think the story is excellent already. I'm really excited to see, you know, what Bad Batch, you know, if they continue to use it throughout the season. But overall, I loved it. I mean, I think that we need action figures of all four of those characters
immediately now. Yeah. Yesterday.
Yeah. So
and they don't. You know what? They don't even have to be like the 6-inch Black Series. I'd be fine with a 3¾.
I think.
So. Oh, you're right. 12.
I think they're giving up on 3¾ in general. But you know, we'll see. I guess Vintage Collection, like I said, is really underperforming in terms of. You know, the choices and bad choices that they made when they started it back up. But, you know, with me, these are perfect Black Series figures. I would love to see all of them.
Oh yeah.
Removable helmets, the whole deal, the face tattoos, you know, just everything that comes with those guys. Amazing. I would love to see them in, you know, humanized form in Black Series. That'd be very cool. I think you could sell those too as a 4-pack. Or 2 2-packs and do an amazing, you know, run of those, and they would turn out great.
You'll get my $40, $50 out of me for that. Easily. So yeah, so the next episode is episode 2 is called A Distant Echo.
Yeah.
So so spoilers, obviously, because we're gonna spoil this because it's been a week.
I think there was even a small clip about it or something online. I avoided it because I'm, you know, I really just want to see them.
I stopped watching previews a long time ago. And I find I enjoy stuff so much more now.
Sure.
I'm like with movies. I watch the initial preview and that's it.
Yeah.
Like I don't read. I don't look about anything else. I like to call it my media blackout.
Yeah.
So this one, starts with Anakin and Mace about to lead an attack, and Rex and Cody come to them and they're like, "Hey, the Separatists are kicking our ass."
Oh yeah.
Like they know what we're doing before we do it.
Sure.
They have to have some kind of thing. And so this was the big change, is when Rex brings up to Cody that he thinks Echo's still alive.
Yeah.
So you don't find out Echo's alive in the original thing until the very end.
Right.
And now I'm thinking, okay, Rex thinks he's alive. Clone Wars has been known to do some kind of weirdly gruesome things.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine they're going to find Echo's brain plugged into something.
Certainly.
Like,
yeah.
I'm
eyeballs hanging off of it.
Yeah. Or... I'm just prepared not to see, like, in a back to tank or something.
Right.
I'm just prepared not to see Echo alive.
Like, next to Ted Williams' brain.
Waltz is in the back there.
Mickey Mantle's liver, like, what's left of it, is sitting there, too. No, it could be. I mean, you know, they could go many directions with this. I think now that it's on Disney Plus, it's less of a. There's less of a need there to be more kid friendly too. So, you know, I don't know.
Clone Wars was pretty adult oriented, not like totally adult oriented, but like, I'm hoping they keep the tone.
It wasn't as like dumbed down for kids as Rebels, you know, like Rebels. But it had a lot of goofy, like filler episodes
at the beginning. Yeah.
Puffer Pig and you know all that stuff. So there was plenty of chances for them to really, you know, and Resistance too.
Yeah.
Obviously with a lot more kid friendly too. So
like even with like the Clone Wars, right? They had the droid squadron go out,
right?
And that was a great series.
Yeah,
it was all filler.
Yeah.
And it didn't move anything along.
Nope.
All it did was spun the wheels a little bit, waiting for us to get to episode three.
Yeah.
But it was fine.
Yeah.
And you know, but things like this is where I feel like the Clone Wars really shines, is introducing things like the Bad Batch.
Yeah. Quickly too. Like you get so much information on them so quickly, which you love them by the time you're through it. And remember, we got a cool sneak peek of them at Celebration.
Yep.
The panel there was amazing. We filled, you know, the arena and Wintrust Arena downtown, and we, you know, got to see a decent amount of that footage from that episode.
Yeah. And watching Ashley Eckstein cry with the stuff that she got to see for Ahsoka was really cool.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we're going to see Ahsoka probably until March anyway. But I will say, the thing that I feel Filoni mastered on the Clone Wars was the looking ahead mm-hmm. into what we need to do, but then at the same time respecting the past of Star sure. Wars.
Yeah.
So they're the 99 Squadron, mm-hmm. and if you remember, 99 was the yep. clone janitor,
the humpback,
yeah, yeah yep. who saved Kamino.
Yeah.
I mean, literally saved Kamino from the Separatists.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that these clones who were mutations,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little more positive mutations than a humpback.
Right.
You know, took that on as their moniker is it's just a great it's those little things yeah. that the movies miss.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get quite a bit of that just in Clone Wars alone.
So.
And you get a little bit of it in Rebels too. Yeah. So
oh, Rebels yeah. did a really good job with it.
Yep.
Like in the movies, right? You get the whole like, well, I knew Rey was a Palpatine because when she was fighting Kylo Ren in the woods in The Force Awakens, she was doing the thrust like Palpatine yeah. did in the throne room against the Jedi. It's like,
right.
Sure you were. Whereas like Rebels, you know, Maul did the same move that yeah. took out Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
But Obi-Wan had scouted that. Like, right. and that's why that is hands down the greatest lightsaber duel of all time.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Like, you know, like it's not even a question.
No.
Three strikes.
Yep.
And he kills Maul.
It was awesome.
And it was awesome.
Yep. So, that's all we needed.
I love these episodes. Like, I love the Jedi, but my favorite Star Wars stories do not revolve around Jedi.
No, yeah, it's
and,
always the
so,
the battles like on the ground kind of thing or in the air kind of thing, you know, and it's yeah. usually not you know, specifically Jedi related, you know. So I agree.
But yeah, so I mean, getting this as out the gate, I was watching it with the kid, right?
Yeah.
And when the Bad Batch is like, "Let's go," she's like, "Well, that's dumb." I'm like, "Wait for
yeah.
it."
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it'll be awesome.
And then she's like, hold on, all four of them just took out right. all of those droids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty sweet how they did it, too. You know, it was very methodical mm-hmm. and, you know, calling out coordinates mm-hmm. and things like that and working together. You know, like we've seen previously in Clone Wars, you know, with the clones training,
yeah.
you know, and just seeing how they, you know, followed that exact same training.
And it was very much that training sequence.
Yeah.
You know, the move, defend, move, defend,
yep.
move, defend. And... you know, I just really liked how they did it, and they all had their own special weapons and
right.
their own special skills. I like how they kept calling Rex and Kit Regs.
Yeah. Regs.
Regs. Awesome. Like yeah. you know, like it's like you guys are the problem.
Yeah, right.
Not us, you guys are the problem. Right. That was really, really good.
Yeah. It was awesome.
But yeah, and so the animation's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Mm-hmm.
Noticeable, but a little. But I like it.
Yeah.
It's
very,
smoother.
Very smooth. Yeah.
It like, the when it was on, like, if you go back, in not season six, the lost episodes, but go back and watch season one, not the movie, and then peek in on the beginning of season five, because that's a pretty big jump in
yeah.
the animation change.
Big
and
time.
Then go watch this, and it's like, you wouldn't notice it was different if you hadn't watched like, you know, recently, because,
right.
you know, my friend David at IGN and I were talking about this, and I was like, did you, because he got to watch them like weeks ago. And I was
yeah.
like, all right, the animation's different. Is it like that noticeable? And he's like, the animation's different. It's like, he's like, nerd. but yeah, so, I mean, you know, but I noticed that, like, I love that kind of stuff, because, like, I like the animation, like in Avatar,
yeah.
Last Airbender, what became Studio Mir. Then they went on to do the first season of Korra, and then the first half of the second season of Korra, Studio Mir was busy,
mm-hmm.
and they had another studio do it. And the animation is definitely off.
Yeah.
And then it hits a point where you get to meet the very first Avatar in the middle of season two, and then Studio Mir did that and then the rest of it. And it's like, oh, this is...
back
this,
to normal.
Yeah. It's like Mr. Rogers putting his comfy shoes
yeah,
on. You right. know, I took the uncomfortable ones off, and I put the comfy ones
yeah.
back on.
Because so. It could have gone a bad way.
But yeah.
It turned out good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. Anyway. But yeah.
Can't wait. I mean, so. It's yeah, every week, and I don't mind the frequency too. I mean, I like binging on some of this content, but you know, getting to see it once a week is fine.
Yeah. I found that I really looked forward to Fridays with the Mandalorian, right?
Yeah.
So I used to really look forward to The Walking Dead before that show just fell off the rails in episode 4 of season 1. anyway,
that early, huh? What are they like on season 8?
I don't even know. I stopped watching. Like I watched for a long time.
I got like through season 3, I think so.
Well, season 3 was like all on the farm.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh my god, you're killing me." Yeah. Literally, I Get feel like off I'm a this zombie farm. Now. Yeah. Leave. Yeah. And in reality it was like 24 hours of actual like lifetime.
Right.
Like that happened. But it ate up, you know, 16 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
So I like the way they did it with The Mandalorian. I like the way they're doing it with this. I will say, I really hope they have something in the can to go on Friday, May 15th.
Okay.
Because the last episode is on May 8th.
Yeah.
And they need to have something ready to go.
Yeah.
Because the wait between The Mandalorian and this was too much.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure you read about like people canceled and they're like, "Oh, I'm just going to wait."
Yeah.
And like, but now people are just going to wait until, you know, episode 8 comes out and pay for April and May, you know, and actually like they can, if you wait until April 17th, you can watch episodes 1 through 9 and then you just got 10, 11 and 12 over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's your one $6.99 thing. So like, you know, having it where like the stuff is coming out and like, I don't want to cancel. Like, you know, like Altered Carbon just came out today on Netflix.
Okay.
I'm not okay with this like teen superhero drama thing just launched, which looks kind of interesting. Like Netflix understands that. Unfortunately, Netflix, you know, it's all binge, right?
Yeah,
so
it is.
But like Hulu's done a really good job with the week by week stuff and like a nice mix of the binge. So I'm hopeful that Disney finds their.
I paid for three years in advance. It was super cheap.
Did you do that?
Yeah, it was like $4.70 a month. If you paid for, it was like $165 for 3 years in advance. I knew I was going to love it. I knew that, you know, the cheaper deal I could get, the better. I think it was because I was, you know, a member of something or you
Club 23.
Yeah, it was something that or I was.
Whatever.
I didn't do the D23 one. I did the one that they offered right after that. I didn't feel like you know, the D23 membership was going to be worth it once.
Well,
I read
you could do
over.
The free membership to, to get it, but
they offered a great deal. I bought the max I could get, you know, and I thought, well, $160 in, I can't be that bad. So, you know, it's a basically a year of Netflix nowadays. Yeah. So
I did $75 for the 1 year.
Yeah.
Because like I love Hulu. Hulu's my favorite streaming service. Like I watch more stuff on there than anything else.
I'm hooked on Goldbergs on there right now, by the way. I'm in season 3, just started.
So we found the Goldbergs a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And like we binged right through it. And I remember I hated the pilot.
Yeah.
I hate most pilots though. So I always give shows a few. But I hated the pilot so much because like the way Beverly was in the pilot is not the way she is in the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And it kind of triggered some PTSD. and so I was like, I can't, like, no. I'm like I'll like no. But I love the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
It is so great. But Hulu does that where they'll release some things weekly and then some things all at once. I really like when they'll do like the first 3 episodes and then go to weekly.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a good one too because it really gets you hooked in.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
I
noticed that I had not logged into my Disney Plus account for quite a long time leading up to last Friday. So,
okay.
It probably had been almost since the last episode of The Mandalorian since I had logged into it.
Yeah.
So I can see where people are going to go in and out of this service, and you know, I mean, Disney's definitely not hurting. You know, they had 28 million subscribers very quickly.
Oh, it's like in the first like day first like 12 hours.
Insane. Yeah. The amount of subscribers.
See, I literally live with their target audience and my wife and daughter.
Right.
So they watch Disney Plus all the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's money well spent.
We do put Boy Meets World on in the office when my wife and I are working in there together. We do watch that. I never really watched that as a kid. I think I was older enough to where I was like, I'm not into this like curly haired freak of a kid, you know, but and we, you know, we did actually run into him at Wizard World in Chicago a few years ago. And you know, and my wife was like freaking
out, God,
like fangirling. Yeah. And I'm just like, who is that again? Oh, Fred's little brother. Like, okay.
So Boy Meets World, my daughter's like, eh.
Yeah.
Girl Meets World, she was all in on that show. Like, she nice. Will, she's probably binged that 4 times.
Yeah.
You know, she loves that show.
But that's like the only thing that's regularly yeah. on when we're on okay. Disney Plus, if it's not something new content. Yeah. So.
I try and watch new stuff. Like, yeah. And like, not just new, but new to me. Like,
yeah.
Like this week alone, I watched, so the person who's coming on next week, is a movie producer, and the movie's called Another Version of You. So I've actually watched that twice. It was really good. And then like I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood finally.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I try and like shake it up like that. But
yeah.
And I've been trying to rewatch Picard a little bit just to
yeah
kind of be up on it, like just to see what I missed.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, man. That's it. I don't got anything else for you.
It's been fun.
Thanks for coming on. It was great.
The show's awesome. I mean, obviously, I listen to it weekly. I usually commute to work on Mondays.
Yeah.
It's about an hour, so I get, you know, almost a perfect amount of time to get down to work. And
that's why we
get
to listen to Sunday. It's just yeah, for your Monday
exactly.
commute.
And my Monday commute works out perfectly. If I don't, you know, finish the entire episode by the time I get to the office, which takes about an hour, I finish it off during lunch or finish it off on my way back home. But
cool.
You know, like last week, Matt being on, yeah. that was awesome. I, you know, that guy, I've never met him, but
yeah.
if we ever ran into each other, I, you know, would love to hang out with him. He's a very cool guy. We're into a lot of the same things. So.
Matt is amazing.
Yeah,
I love him so much. And actually, the thing I went to, he ended up being at.
Yeah.
And last week when he was in, I was having like an allergy thing. That's why his voice sounded weird.
Oh, okay.
Like his chin was like Thanos-y.
Yeah.
But all the guys were busting his balls about the Star Wars Celebration story because
yeah.
cause two of them listened to the show.
Yeah.
And they're like, so.
That was rough. Yeah.
yeah.
Listen, but it's
but
cool.
But it's a great
yeah.
story. Like, you know.
I love outlets like this. I
yeah.
mean, just like I love Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, you get to meet people that you would have never met before. So,
speaking of Instagram, where can people find you on Instagram?
I'm C.S. Bellman on Instagram. Definitely look me up. Follow me. And I haven't been posting much this year, but I'm gonna have to get back into it soon.
Yeah.
So. Just a lot of things personally, just taking too much of my time.
Yep.
But, you know, it doesn't take much to post, and I like to post, you know, at least viable content, so not just a post to post.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, check me out.
I did, for a long time, I did, like, I carried around the little Spider-Man minifigure.
Yeah.
And I just, it was called Spidey a Day.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of him everywhere I went.
Right.
For 366 days.
Yeah.
Because it was a leap year. And then I made a little coffee table book out of it at the end.
Nice.
So, and then, but if you go through it, I inadvertently put a picture of a Lego Michelangelo minifigure in there. So it's like,
yeah.
But like, so, cause it balanced out the pages.
It's like, where's
but
Waldo?
I didn't mean to do it.
yeah.
It was just like, it's going through. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
So, but, nice. But yeah, no, Instagram's fun. All right. So CS Bellman on Instagram, dude, thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Like, I mean, this is great to actually get to see you and hang out for a couple minutes. We were going to do this over the phone anytime.
Yeah.
You're welcome back. So,
certainly. Great.
Like I said, like I told you, like, and like I told you guys, show's going a little bit of a different direction. More guests, a little more like interviewee type stuff. Like
yeah.
this was definitely more of a conversation, which is awesome. But yeah. All right. So you can find us online, at infospodcast.com. Check out our Patreon. I changed up the tiers. So now there's only two. But they're both very good tiers. It's, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. Where else? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all Infamous Podcast. And you can find us, you know, on Spotify. If you're not listening on Spotify, I highly recommend switching over. It's a great podcast app. And there's a bunch of other cool content on there, like music and things like that. And you don't have to have Spotify Premium or anything like that. And then if you want to help support the show besides Patreon, check out infamouspodcast.com/comixology for a link to get a 30-day free trial to Comixology Unlimited. And you can catch up on all the great books that I post each week that I get weekly because I'm a comic book addict. All right. Any last words?
Infamous? Infamous?
Later.
Later.